The 2010 Nobel Peace Prize will be awarded tomorrow. This year, there were 237 nominees for the prestigious award, the most ever, according to the Norwegian Nobel Institute. Still, there are several candidates thought to be in the lead. Here to walk us through the contenders and the process is Howard LaFranchi, diplomatic correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, where he wrote the article and the favorites for the 2010 Nobel Peace Prize are. Who do you think deserves the prize this year? Who is your favorite winner of the past and why? Call us at 800-989-8255 or email us talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation at our website, where you can also find a link to Howard's article. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Howard LaFranchi joins us from a studio at the Christian Science Monitor Bureau here in Washington, D.C. Welcome.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me on.
Now, one of the people that you that you spoke with thought that the winner this year could be from Afghanistan. Why is this?
Well, for a few reasons. One, obviously, Afghanistan, there is not only is there a war going on there, but we are moving into a phase where there could be negotiations between the government and the Taliban that could help in bringing that war to an end. That would be, first of all, the kind of thing that the if we look at past, that the Nobel Committee would want to take note of. But also the particular individual who is being mentioned is Seema Samar. She is a human rights activist in Afghanistan. She's particularly focused on women's issues. And so there are a number of reasons. One is that she is a woman.
And a woman has
won. Won the prize since 2003. But also she has a record of accomplishments and in this area of human rights, and that right there sort of takes us back to last year's prize.
Okay, because
well, of course, President Obama won the prize last year. And that was seen as a prize really awarded for what the committee saw the potential of this new American president.
You describe it in your article as an aspirational award versus tangible accomplishments.
Yes. And in fact, as it turns out, going back to the beginning of the prize, which has been the Peace Prize, which has been given out for over a century, but in the beginning there were a number of aspirational prizes, and there have been scattered throughout. They tend to favor either organizations or individuals who, through their work, have accomplished something for peace in the world. And most observers expect that after giving what turned out to be a somewhat controversial aspirational prize last year, that they will go back to their more traditional roots, perhaps, and go back to awarding the prize this year based on accomplishments.
So perhaps every award is a bit of a reaction to that has gone before. Is it possible? I mean, politics comes into play, or what factors does this committee of five people consider when they hand out this award?
Well, one thing I would say for sure that obviously it's a very prestigious prize, and the committee is carefully watching for the reputation of that prize and for their organization, and it has its capital like any organization, and they don't want to squander that or see that disparaged. And I think also, given that President Obama went on to give a speech in in presenting the award that was widely seen basically as a justification for the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. That was something of a shock. I would say not only to the committee probably, but to European sensibilities, and I think that's what this prize in many ways reflects. And so I think they're watching out for their reputation, and that too would point to a less controversial prize winner this year. For example, some say that that could mean that that the Chinese poet and dissident Liu Xiaobo might not win this year because although he is understood to be a candidate, but not only
this
is
an imprisoned Chinese dissident you're talking about,
right? Poet and imprisoned dissident. Not only would the Chinese government look unfavorably on that, but actually there are other Chinese dissidents who have come out publicly recently saying they wouldn't favor him winning the prize, that he has not always been strongly against the communist regime of China. And so that would just seem to be another prize that just might open up the committee to further and the prize to further criticism or controversy, which it seems they would probably want to avoid this year.
Hmm. Who do you think deserves the Nobel Peace Prize? Who is your favorite winner of the past and why? Call us at 800-989-8255 or email us talk@npr.org. Howard LaFranchi, give us a sense of who are some of the others thought to be on the short list this year for the Peace Prize.
Well, it's always a mix of organizations and individuals. There are some Russian dissidents actually on the list, or in particular, one woman, Svetlana. And I'm sorry about the name here, but Ganeshkina. Who has been really a champion of Chechen human rights in face of the Russian military campaign in Chechnya. But then there are also organizations, and several organizations seem to figure prominently this year. One is the Special Court of for Sierra Leone that is trying war crimes and crimes against humanity that were committed in the civil war there. Another interesting one is the Democratic Voice of Burma, which is really a media organization. It's an exile media organization that actually based in Oslo, Norway. I don't know if that would have any impact on the committee.
Speaking of politics.
But, they what they do is they send clandestine Burmese journalists. They bring them out clandestinely, train them to use video cameras and other reporting equipment, send them back in, and then they send out with either via cell phones or other devices, send out the reports on what is really going on in inside a closed country like Burma or Myanmar. One reason some observers or of the Nobel Prize think they could be a good candidate is just the kind of hybrid organization it is, or the way it kind of uses new technology to address an old problem. That could be something that would be attractive to the committee.
Let's take a phone call. We have Thomas on the line from Columbia, South Carolina. Hi there.
Hey. My favorite Nobel Peace Prize winner is definitely Nelson Mandela.
And why?
I'm a South African. I grew up in Johannesburg. And I saw a lot of oppression just in the police force, and seeing him win the prize meant so much to me because I understood what it meant for the people of South Africa to to have a black president and to see that oppression of apartheid really come to an end.
All right. Well, thanks for calling us. Howard LaFranchi, Nelson Mandela, pretty uncontroversial choice, right, when he got,
yeah. I mean. Clearly there have been choices like that in the past that no one can find any fault in. There are some interesting things that it's sort of like the Oscars in a way. And by the way, the Democratic Voice of Burma, a documentary about them last year, was nominated for an Oscar. But in the same way that every year at Oscar time, we hear how there are certain actors and actresses or directors that are among our favorites that have never won an award, never won an Oscar. Gandhi never won the Nobel Peace Prize. Hmm. And
it's kind of hard to believe.
Yeah, you would if you stood back and maybe looked at the last century and say who deserved a peace prize. Certainly, he would be at the top of many lists, but he never won.
And posthumously, is that a possibility or no?
I understand that is not a possibility. Because the and that came up because the Russian journalist, the woman, and I'm sorry again,
Who was gunned down a year or so ago for reporting on corruption in Moscow, I believe.
Exactly, and her name came up, but apparently posthumous awards. Are not well. In of course, the Nobel Peace Prize, all the Nobel Prizes, they were established by Alfred Nobel, and in his will, he talks about works that in the will where he sets up the prize, he says that he wants these prizes to go for works done in the previous year. Mm. Now, that doesn't necessarily rule out a posthumous award. But at least until now, it's been interpreted that it is to be awarded to living individuals or obviously existing organizations.
All right, let's take another phone call. Kathleen is in Martinez, California. You're on the air.
Hi, I would suggest Greg Mortensen, gentleman who written The Three Cups of Tea, and for his influence with in Afghanistan, I believe, with all he's done there.
He's the man who built all those schools in, I think, Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Yes, and he's had great influence, too. The military uses his book, and so do other countries, to help them understand how to work with different cultures and to make it a peaceful place.
Howard LaFranchi, is Greg Mortensen on the list of 237?
Well, I can't say, as you noted, as I think you noted anyway, actually, we know of 18 names out of the 237, but that's only because there's no list ever published. But if nominees themselves want to make the fact that they were nominated public, I guess they have every right to do so. And so actual nominations or names on the list do leak out, but there's no list ever published. So I don't know about Greg Mortensen. I would say that, as somebody pointed out to me, that actually 1/4 of the prize winners have been Americans. And so not only the fact that President Obama won the award last year, coupled with the fact that it turned out to be a controversial award, that seems to rule out that another American would win this year.
All right. We're talking with Howard LaFranchi about his article in the Christian Science Monitor about who might win the 2010 Nobel Peace Prize. You can find a link at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And one of our producers has just done a quick little fact check here that apparently the Nobel Foundation stipulates that prizes cannot be awarded posthumously unless a death has occurred after the announcement of the prize, which happened in 1996. No, so let's see. This happened in 1996 when William Vickery died only a few days after. Now, it says he died after the announcement of the prize in economics. That's sad. let's take a phone call from Bob in Oakland, California. Go right ahead, Bob.
This is Michigan, actually.
I'm so sorry. Welcome to the program.
Pleasure. I would nominate Baroness Caroline Cox, the former Deputy Speaker of the House of Lords of the UK, for her outstanding humanitarian work worldwide. You name the country where there's a need, and she has been there. Armenia 70-plus times, et cetera, et cetera. The list is long.
All right. And why would what stands out about her for you? What do you think?
It's about is her dedication and her passion for what she does. She does not only visit the area, she goes and makes sure that everything that she has brought with her is distributed. So therefore, it's a very much hands-on approach that she has.
All right. Well, thank you for your call. Howard?
Bob, I believe that the committee takes nominations quite openly wherever they may come from. So, if your favorite doesn't win this year, you can make the nomination next year.
That's right. There you are, Bob. Make your nomination. Howard LaFranca, we have just a few seconds left. It is possible. I just wanted to point out that the winner could be someone we've never heard of. Is it? It's happened before.
That's absolutely right. I think and actually many of the names won't be that are on any year's list. Wouldn't be the Nelson Mandela or the Jimmy Carter, nevertheless, maybe one of the values of this prize, when it is given to someone less well known, is just it's a nice reminder that there are all kinds
and
of people out there.
We have
like
to stop
this.
It right there. We're running out of time
this year.
Howard LaFranca, diplomatic correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. I'm Jennifer Ludden. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.